This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to the Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
It's a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, this is Mo the Bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. He's the only guy to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a duff. Bunch of jerks.
What's going on, everybody? Art here for Masters of None, and with me is Mike.
Yes, what's up?
And Jay.
What's up?
A lot of things are happening in the world of Masters of None, but what we're going to do is focus on is a cool interview with Ari Stidham from the show on CBS Scorpion that's coming up later. But this show is going to be talking about the best weapons of all time. I don't even know if we're doing top 8.5. I don't even know if we're doing 100. My mind's kind of blown right now.
Yeah.
What we are going to do is we're going to talk about weapons. But before we start doing that, what are you boys drinking tonight?
Blue Point White IPA. Out of the tall boy can.
Nice.
This is a haptical illusion.
Nice, gentlemen. Man. Love it. Yes. I am drinking my famous and favorite blueberry ale. So that's good. Thanks to Blue Point. Definitely refreshing us this summer. Make sure if you don't have it, ask for it at your local liquor store and they'll hook you up, hopefully.
Art dropping a mad bomb. That was fucking professional right there. That was awesome.
Big boy, you got the big boy pants on.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
That's great.
How are you fellas doing?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. This is the best. This has been the best night ever.
I know.
And it's only going to get better.
I know. Jay, how are you doing?
Right.
Right.
All right. Don't be so excited. All right. As always, we prepared a lot for this show. I think like maybe 2 hours before we started recording, like, hey, what are we going to talk about? And I was like, hey, about top 8.5 weapons of all time. Could be fictional, non-fictional. Of course, we went to Facebook for some help and some guidance because we need that.
Yep.
But Mike, let's start with you, man. What's your 8.5?
My 8.5 is the salt gun. I don't know if you've seen this. It's fucking it's phenomenal. I got a chance to play with one not too long ago, and it was the most fun I've had in a long time. It's a pump-action little toy shotgun that shoots salt, and it's used to kill flies and mosquitoes and things like that. It's fucking awesome. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Walking around shooting flies with a salt gun. It's the best. No questions?
It's right here.
No questions? No questions? Was I that good? Come on.
Salt, like,
one more time.
Where is the, like, whoever invented this is like, you know what? Fuck flies and mosquitoes, man.
Yeah.
I built a gun for that.
Absolutely. Because, you know, like, fly swatters don't work. You know, sometimes.
Those citronella candles don't work for shit either.
That shit don't work, but you shoot this fucking salt rifle.
Where do you pick them
awesome.
Up?
Awesome. Huh?
Like Babbage's?
Babbage's? Bamburgers?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably Target. Target probably sells them. Home Depot.
Ah, Target. There you go. Nice. Mm. All right, cool. So you were messing around with it, and do they work?
Oh, like a charm. I mean, it was, you know, it took an hour, but I got all the flies. Got all the flies out of that fucking place. It was great. But it was so much fun doing it.
Jay, what about you, man? What's your 8.5?
My 8.5 is, of course, midgets. We all know back in the days, they used to launch them over castle walls at the enemy.
Yep.
Sometimes lit on fire. It was always more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Covered in grease, so they would stay lit longer. But yeah, midgets. I don't want to get hit with a flaming midget from a 200-foot wall, do you?
No.
No. No, sir. Yeah.
Didn't think so.
Terrible way to go.
That was in Braveheart, right? Was that 300?
That was a terrible way to go. Killed by midget. Oof. Killed by a flaming midget.
A flaming bow.
I would laugh at that, though, if I saw that on a tombstone. Killed by a flaming midget.
I think that was in Braveheart. Mine is the kunai.
The what?
It's Scorpion's weapon, the harpoon-like spear.
Oh, Yeah, there you go.
You know, the whole like get over because you this it's a 0.5, 8.5 because you actually got to be good with that.
Yeah,
because I would probably throw that at like my foot. I would like try and throw that at an enemy and it like land on my foot and I just start crying and sobbing.
I thought you meant the actual game because you had to be good at it too because it leaves you wide open for a hit if you miss.
Sure. So yeah, that's my 8.5.
Getting all technical and shit.
You gotta have that thing mastered, and it comes out of your skin, your palm. I don't know if I can handle that.
Ow.
Because at least that's what the Mortal Kombat games, that's how it happens. But all right, moving on to number 8. Mike, what do you got?
I got another video game weapon. The Hidden Blade in Assassin's Creed.
Very cool.
I fucking love that weapon. I love it so much. There's nothing I love more than walking up in between two soldiers, dropping a smoke bomb, slitting these guys through both these guys' throats with the hidden blades in your fucking arms, and then backing up as the townspeople are all around the dead body going, "What happened? Who did this?" And be like, "Yeah, what's going on? I can't believe it. Shit, fucking crime in this town. This sucks."
Hold up. I just got to say, I did screen the movie Pixels.
Yeah.
And there's one point in when they were in Britain, Great Britain, and some guy goes, "What's all this then?" I was dying laughing.
Serious?
I laughed out. I LOL'd. I laughed out loud. And I was just like, and then I go, "I said, what's all this then?" And I'm like, "Wait a minute.
What's all this?"
No one here knows like that brand of humor. But I was like, "Yes, what's all this then?" Yes. All right, go ahead.
Dude, if that's something that gets big. That was so our thing. Damn it.
Check out five seasons ago?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all I wanted to say, though. But yeah.
That was the episode. I remember that episode. That was the top 8.5 things Britain gave America. That episode.
Now, for these, I played Assassin's Creed a little bit. I think it was the colonial one, like, you know, George Washington and his fake teeth.
Yeah.
But
that was three.
Like, how big are these swords, like, in the sense of, like, how powerful? I mean, if they're able to slit throats, all right, cool. Like, I mean, are they pretty decent?
Oh.
The damage they can cause?
Dude, because you can have them at different lengths, too.
Okay.
They're fucking great. I love them.
Nice. All right there, Jay, what do you got for number 8?
Number 8, I'm going to go with Molotov cocktails.
Nice.
I don't know what's in them, but a bottle, of course, with some sort of flammable liquid inside. Dip a rag in there, hang it out the top, light it on fire, throw it, instant firebomb.
Yes.
Put a midget in a bottle.
One of those.
Cocktail.
I have a midget in a bottle.
Molotov cocktail weenie.
It's one of those 5-gallon jugs of like water. Just put a midget in it.
Right, it's a 55-gallon drum. Also launched from a catapult, filled with oil, lit on fire.
Oh my god!
How about that?
Worst way to go ever.
God, I should have been a medieval weapons designer. I would have been huge.
Nice. Mine's a collective for number 8 is Sai Nunchuck's katana, and I'm pretty good with a bow staff.
Oh yes. Nice.
Who's all of them combined?
Your pick or Napoleon Dynamite's pick?
Both. Yeah, I conferred with him before I started the show. No, but I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was a big Raphael fan, so Sai's were pretty cool. But
I was gonna say, what was your turtle? Because everybody had one. That's
Sai Raphael. Yeah. I was a fan. Like my favorite color was red. Liked his attitude. So yeah, he was spunky.
Nice.
I dug that.
Donatello for me. Bo staff, dude.
Bo staff. Jay.
Which one has the sword?
Leonardo.
Leonardo. He was the leader.
Well, I tend to gravitate towards natural born leaders.
Yeah, so there we go. That's my 8 is the weapons of choice from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Sweet. Why does nobody ever pick Michelangelo's weapon? Do you think that's just because
you hit yourself in the head?
Yeah, the range of difficulty on that one.
Yeah, you just and that guy, like out of the four of them, he was the idiot of the group.
He was the
like
wild card.
He was the art.
Yeah, he was the art of the group.
You're not an idiot. You're very smart.
Yeah, not really. But I mean, if you have a katana and you just bring it out like, all right, shit, this guy's real. Bo staff, same thing. Sai, you're like, all right, the mentality of this guy has really small weapons, but if he's good with them, I'm going to back off. The nunchucks is all about like, hey, look what I can do.
The flash of it.
Yeah, and it's all about like the act of it, and it's like, yeah, and it's kind of like what was it, like Indiana Jones when that guy was having like the, you know, the whole sword thing, and like, yeah. Oh,
and he pulls out the gun,
shoots him, like boom.
Greatest thing ever. You know what that scene actually happened? Have you ever heard about that?
The reason inside why? Information.
Harrison Ford was supposed to do this really big choreographed sword fight with him, and then the last minute he was like, nah, I really don't want to do that. Why don't I just pull out a gun and shoot him?
Yeah,
and
they were hung over or something.
Yeah, like he was that? Like hung over and he just didn't want to learn the choreography. So he was like, fuck it, why don't I just shoot him? This is terrible.
That's awesome. All right. Number 7 to you, Mike.
Okay. This spans everything. Real, video games, movies, everything. Sniper rifle.
Nice. That's my number 4.
A fucking sniper rifle. It's just awesome. I just love the idea of like hiding thousands of feet away and just drilling somebody from a distance without them even realizing where the fuck the shot came from.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Oh, what a weapon. And I love them in video games. I love sniper rifles in video games because you can be such a dick. You're just so far away and there's no reason why somebody should be able to shoot you, and yet boom, done, one shot.
Yeah, that was like, for me, I think GoldenEye, I think it was the first introduction for like using a sniper rifle for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Nintendo 64. Yeah, that was like the biggest thing for me. Yeah, I mean, that, like I said, that was my number 4. And just like you said, being so far away, no one knows where it's coming from, and you have to be a good ass shot to get that thing going off.
Oh, hells yeah. My Got sniper rifle.
Steady like a mofo.
My sniper rifle game, though, is definitely Halo. Fucking love that shit. Snipes and shotguns. That's the fucking best match ever.
Mr. J, number 7 for you.
My next one is from a terrible movie. It's one of the Star Wars prequels. I forget which one. Just finished watching them all with my kids. Some sort of missile that they shoot, and then it opens up and like dumps a bunch of like little fuck you up robots on it that just start eating your ship. You know what I'm talking about, Art?
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly what you're talking about.
With the whole battle droids, like the small little battle droids.
Yeah.
Yep, nice, man.
That's a good one. It rips the eyeball out of your droid.
That's like a gun shooting mechanical midgets.
That's true.
If you think about it.
I'm fixated upon this concept.
You do. You just can't leave midgets well enough alone, can you, Jay? You just got to keep tossing them around. Shit.
My number 7 is Green Lantern's ring.
It's pretty intense. It's a pretty intense weapon.
Anything you can think of, all of a sudden, you know, it'll power up and you can use whatever you want that comes to your imagination. So if you have a good imagination, well, great. If you don't, well, you're screwed. You shouldn't be a Green Lantern anyway.
I always had a question about the Green Lantern ring. Yeah, it's like whatever you can think of. So, but you usually think of multiple things at once.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like think to yourself, I'm thinking about a whatever, and over and over again. You know what I mean? Like you just get...
You repeat the thing that you want the most 3 times in your mind.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's like that Daniel Tosh joke. How mm-hmm. does Superman fly faster?
Two hands.
He just goes like this. Is that
two hands?
That's how he goes faster. I fucking love that joke.
It is true though. Use two hands.
Is it?
That's By the it. Way, how was Ant-Man, you guys? Didn't you go to a screening with Paul Rudd in attendance?
Yes, we did. Thank you, Art. That was fucking awesome.
You are welcome, man.
Didn't Paul leave with him, Mike?
I wish.
Just so you could hang out.
Yes. Yeah, he was there. It was fucking cool, man. I dug the movie. I did. We were talking a little bit before, Jay, and one of the things I was saying is that I really liked how Michael Douglas played his part. But yeah, good flick.
Yeah, a lot of cool scenes, a lot of cool cameos, fun action. Like the special effects, especially for the Ant-Man, like shrinking and then going back to regular size, I thought was perfect.
Yeah.
Different take on kind of Ant-Man, but it definitely works in the universe that they're trying to just have all the movies coexist for. The ending, the two like scenes after the like during the credits were fantastic.
Yeah, they were cool.
The tie-ins for new shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so and I love it's the fact that
Paul Rudd, like the whole standing joke with him and Conan O'Brien when he brings on a clip.
Yeah, the Mac and Me clip.
The Mac and Me. Did you see that interview?
Yeah.
Jay, did you?
No.
He did it again.
So he did it again, but they were like, you know, he goes, Conan's like, before we show this clip, just want to let you know, this is where, you know, Paul's got to put his big boy pants on because this is Marvel. This is, you know,
this is serious.
Sure that they, you know, present
you have to
the
show
clip.
Your shit. Yeah.
So it was like, you know, just before everybody starts going online and being all upset at us for actually showing the real clip, just please don't get upset. This is it. So they go into like the Ant-Man clip and then all of a sudden they merge Ant-Man and Mac and Me. And it was just perfect.
Yeah.
Really well done. And I was glad that Marvel had a sense of humor for that too.
Yeah.
And speaking of Green Lantern's ring, did you guys see the Deadpool trailer with Ryan Reynolds?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
See them kind of just poking fun at Green Lantern?
Yep. Dude, that movie looks amazing.
Yes.
That could be huge. If that hits big, it's mm-hmm. a fucking R-rated comic book movie. That's great. That could mean a lot. You know, actual good things coming down the road.
Oh, yeah. So I'm down with that. All right. So that was my number 7. 6 for you, Mike.
This is back to video games. The spread gun in Contra.
Oh, nice pick. Yes.
I mean.
Oh, that is a good one. That's the best. Yes.
The best one. And the one that you could always hang on to the longest. Fucking game. That was part of the reason why it was the best, because you just felt pretty much invincible.
It's a great call.
Yeah, because you were just destroying things left and right in your path. It was like, didn't matter.
Yeah. I remember just how disappointing it was, the fact that there was no rapid fire in Contra. You actually had to get something to have rapid fire. So when you would shoot, you had to shoot one bullet at a time. That was a pain in the ass in that game. Spread gun was just a breath of fresh air. Jay, you.
I'm going to go with the old-fashioned machete.
Nice.
The machete.
Have you ever used a machete?
No, I want to.
Oh, my God.
I want to use one.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like, it's great for like hiking. You just like whack all the brush and shit away. Oh, my God. It's fun as hell. Like, you could fling it into a tree and just like stick it into anything. Like, it'll just whoosh, stick in there, kind of like a chef does with an avocado pitch. Except you could do it with like a rock or a baby, like anything. <It'll> just, <whoosh. laughs> There's a wedge right in there.
Whack.
It's badass.
Nice. You feel like you're just holding like a mini sword.
Yeah, you totally
like,
are.
Like if it was a midget sword. See, I'm going to make every one of your examples related to midgets.
The name alone, though, too, machete, that strikes fear.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, they wouldn't have named a badass man after it.
Right, like sure. Stiletto. It just sounds like a gay Ninja Turtle. Stiletto.
Nice. My number, what are we on, 6?
Yeah.
The Predator discs from Predator 2.
The boomerang ones?
Yeah, he had that thing where like he held it and all of a sudden it opened up and he just threw it out and it kind of would, I don't know if it was heat sensored or whatever the hell it was, but it just, it would gravitate towards his target and it was just like that shit is sweet.
Is that anything like the, I can never pronounce this, is it glaive or glave?
No, glade.
Glaive?
It's glade.
it's Sadie. Glaive from that movie Crawl.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Melissa Barrett on Facebook mentioned that, and I know that was on a lot of lists when I was doing some research. But yeah, that fucking disc that he throws. He does it in Predator 2 as well, right? You just have to do that. You just want to do that.
That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. I don't give a shit about that weapon. I'm just like, hey.
Here's a couple more from Facebook. Brett Myrick says, the fart gun in Despicable Me. Jeff Ferry, the rifle. It's when war started to count the dead in millions. Wow. That's scary. Crystal Kush, a nuke. Jesus. Everybody's so violent.
Nice, Jay.
What do you need to do?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of Facebook for weapons, too.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I didn't see it from what Mike was saying, but that's awesome. Well done.
Thank you.
Mm.
It's a good list.
Great list.
Hold on, it's loading.
The list is loading? I thought you already had it up there.
I got it.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
Whoop, there it is.
Are you logged in so you get all the photos?
Yeah.
Of the weapons?
Of the weapons. Of the Whoppets.
Excellent.
Well. This show has innuendo and stuff.
Innuendos. All right. Number 5, Mike.
Yeah.
Why don't we hold up? Let's just throw it to our interview with Ari Stidham from Scorpion. Talk about the show and a bunch of other things. He's got a podcast, musician, all that good stuff. So let's check it out. And the season 2 of Scorpion comes up this fall. Gene Simmons from Kiss is going to be in it.
So wow.
As well. Here you go.
Hey, everybody. It's Art and on the line. I'm very happy to have Ari Stidham, who plays Sylvester Dodd on the CBS hit show Scorpion. Thanks for taking the time, Ari. How you doing, sir?
Oh, Thanks for having me, Art. I'm doing good. What's going on?
Good, man. You know, it's funny. My dad called me onto the show. He's like, hey, you know, and I bet you get a lot of different stories too, but he was like, hey, check it out. You know, the guy who played T2 or the T-2000 in Terminator? I'm like, yeah. He's like, it's a really cool show. Scorpion, got to check it out, man. So I started watching it. You guys were great as a cast. Love the show. And, you know, with season one ending earlier this season, and of course, season two starting up this fall, what type of things can we see from your character, Sylvester, that we may not have seen from the character from last season?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for saying all those nice things about the show. second of all, we can see a lot of stuff. The first episode is sort of a return to form from what I've shot thus far of the second season, because we just started this month, actually last week. So I don't know how much I'm allowed to give out, but there's, you know, we're meeting some new people. Scorpion's doing some new stuff. So we shall see some more computers, some more feats of action adventure with lots of heart and tech and just genius. It's, we can't get enough of this genius stuff. It is really difficult for me to memorize, but it is what our show is. So I happily do.
It's funny you say that, because I've read a couple of interviews past, and like, yeah, it's very hard because, you know, your character is more, I guess, tech savvy than you are. But I mean, you hit it out of the park, man. Of course, you're an actor. You want to nail that part, but you do it really well. So it's kind of funny when I see people say, like, when people ask you, like, are you that tech savvy? You're like, no, thank nowhere near. But you play a really good job. So not well done on that.
I try to comprehend it a little bit when I say it. And, you know, it helps to visualize it as something more attainable, because it's just sort of like numbers and letters that become magical code that create, you know, like a cool, accessible electronic thing. And like, I really don't know what that is when I'm talking about it, but if I can pretend it looks like a tree or something, I'll be like, okay, cool, it's like a little tree. And that's why I call it a pointer tree access point. And sort of like a, yeah, maybe it's got like a little cute bird on it, and I sort of like create different scenarios in my head, sort of like Michael Scott, in order to remember all this stuff. It's just too... I mean, man, there's so much of it, and I love doing it. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah.
There's just so much of it that it's harder and harder as the days wear on to, like, differentiate the smart thing I said yesterday to the thing I'm saying today. So yeah, that's probably the biggest challenge of the job, but, I mean, it's the best to have that as, like, the hardest part, because that's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm always curious, though, when I have the fortune to talk to actors and actresses, and just to get your feedback on, when you're working with the writers and the production staff of the show, how much input do you guys have with kind of like maybe the script or maybe your character's development?
You know, not much. I mean, obviously, what they get from the cameras is what I perform for my character, but that's sort of, you know, where it starts and ends, is with, like, the script and the camera. And then after that, it's into the editor's hands. You know, it's sort of like the baton gets passed to you for that little bit. But everybody works together on it. Like, a lot of the things that were conceived for Sylvester, most of them, you know, didn't run anything by me, but they're all a part of the character that I play. So it's sort of like they think of me, I'm sure. But I don't think it's tailored to anything that I pitched.
Gotcha.
Necessarily. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
We always do have a great give and take, and like, there are some episodes where an ad lib will get in, and that'll be fun. But you know, I tend to not go off the script because they do a lot of research and work into sort of crafting what we're supposed to be saying.
Gotcha. You guys started this week filming. What is, I guess, the process like? Is it a week per episode, or it just depends on how episode might be?
It's an 8-day turnaround. And then sometimes we double up on our 8th and 1st day. So it's 7 days an episode, but our, like, the 8th day is the 1st day. Does that make sense? So,
yeah, and of course, Comic-Con just happened. A lot of cool things coming out of there. I know everybody was, you know, wishing you were there, but you were, they said, you know, you were busy, then you couldn't be on the panel.
Yeah, I was working.
Yeah, Gene Simmons from KISS, I guess, is going to be in the season. Can you talk a little bit about working with him?
You know, I didn't work with Gene, and I believe he's actually working in the next few days. I don't even know if he's shot it yet. I don't know Gene. I'm a huge fan. love KISS. You know, it's not my all time favorite band, but I like definitely rock out to them. They're on a lot of playlists. KISS is one of those bands that you just have respect for. There's nothing but respect. I don't they did it exactly right. I mean, it's cool to have him on the show. I think that, I mean, the part that he's playing, I don't want to give anything away. The part that he's playing is sort of a really interesting, like, bit that is very, like, it can change, it can change based on what they get on the day, I think, a lot. So I'm really excited to see how it turns out. But I unfortunately do not get to work, but I would love to meet him.
Hopefully you do. You know, if he's still on the set, hopefully you get a chance to see him. And for you on social media, if people follow you on Twitter at Ari Sidham, of course, put up links here as well, but on our site. You definitely have a very cool and joking personality. And
thanks, man.
I mean, even your background avatar with, I think, Mariah Carey and Will Smith, hilarious.
Well, I love that photo because I don't really know the story behind it. I mean, I might have been five, and that's what the stick. I really don't know the story behind it, but it just is really, really funny to me because, like, there's two people who, you know, the name recognition on this dude, the face recognition, everybody knows who they are.
Yeah.
They're like holding each other in an embrace. Like, I wish I could fit in the caption "Love lasts forever" underneath there because that's pretty funny. But I don't know. It's just like they're not together, you know. I don't know what's really going on in their lives. I just think that's a pretty funny photo, and it makes me laugh really hard every time I look at my Twitter, and that's what people see. I think people dig that. I think that's cool. Like, I'm not like a nerdy guy, you know. I'm nerdy about like TV and music and stuff, but like a lot of people think it's cool to be nerdy about stuff like that. So
yeah.
I don't know. I geek out, but like, I wish I got into comic books earlier because all my friends are into comic books and sort of like, I like playing pretend. And so I like, you know, good narratives and I like cool abilities, but I don't know, like getting into reading a comic book is really hard for me to sort of sit there and not want to make it. Thanks for saying that. It's cool because I get to be more like an artsy dude on Twitter than on Scorpion, which I hate.
I can see that. Definitely a different direction from your character on the show, Scorpion. The reason why I bring that up, man, is because I love the jokes. I just love the different things you put up there. And we're going to get into your music in a quick second. But I got to almost think, like, if there's a practical joker on the set, you may be one of them. Am I correct in that? Or you guys, is it all business on the set?
Oh, you know, a practical joke. I don't know. Our show moves really fast. Okay. I wish I could say that the environment on the show is like full of, I'm going to be around the corner waiting to pants Eddie K. Thomas. Like, it's everything like that. You know, Eddie and I sort of had like a little run of like, there was this peanut sauce that we were eating one day. Like one of the snacks on set was like chicken that you would dip in this peanut sauce.
Yeah.
And like, when everything was gone, like it came out at like 11 a.m. and like when everything was gone by like 3 or 4, for some reason, this dish of peanut sauce is still there, just sort of like lonely and forgotten. And we were about to change sets, but I like grabbed some and put it on a plate and then put it on Eddie's chair. I thought it'd be funny. We were delirious. There's like there's nothing else to do except like the peanut sauce looks a little bit like feces on that plate. That's like all the joke was. And it's there on his seat. And we went and did a scene and then we came back and he had moved it to my chair and like, that was like the beginning of a joke, and then we got way too tired to finish it. But I think that's like the closest thing. Was like, oh, maybe you'll fit in this, but there's no way that they could. You know, it's just like what is this doing on my chair? I don't know. It's lame. like we have so many lines, and there's so many scenes. Like the amount of fun that we have is usually like weighted also down by like, we are running out of time today. We are like fighting the sun, so we cannot joke around. We need to be on it. You know, but that's the show. There's just, it's a different type of thing. We're not making like a farcical romp, you know. Yeah. I'm sure we'd have more fun if we were, but we're running and jumping and saving the world, you know. There's hardly time to get a coffee.
There's no time for love or no time for fun, Dr. Jones kind of thing going on.
Yeah, exactly. No time for love, Dr. Jones. Exactly.
It's pretty cool to find out that your song Wonder Bread, because you also are big into music and your band DRTV, it was featured in the season of Scorpion for season one. So are we expected to possibly see any more of your music for this season?
You know, I haven't spoken to anybody about putting any music in season, but I am releasing an EP this year. It's in making Scorpion, all of my sort of side projects. Like I said before, I'm sort of like this tinkerer guy who just wants to make stuff. All the stuff that I've been making sort of like takes a back seat to Scorpion because that's a job that takes precedence, sort of the one that I'm taking most seriously right now. It's not, you know, I don't really have a lot of time to work on the creative projects when production is happening. But one of the projects I was working on last season is an EP that I'm trying to release. And so once that gets released, I hope like one of those songs can get on somehow. But, you know, it's hard to like quantify that. Our showrunner heard the song and dug it. And like, he was like, I'll put it on the episode. And it was awesome. I mean, it got on because he liked it. Like that's it. So I'm really like thankful to Nick because he just made it really made it happen for me there. And yeah, Dr. Television is a really cool thing in my life that I feel really cool doing it, and I enjoy being a part of it, and it's just like, you know, a great outlet. And I hope people dig it. It's just, I'm just making pop music. That's sort of the whole project. It's just me making pop music. So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, man, your SoundCloud site is great, man. I was kind of jammed through and listening to while I was doing work, man. So people definitely check it out. It's at soundcloud.com/DRTelevision. Of course, put links up there as well. And for acting and music, which passion kind of came first?
You know, I think it's performance as a whole. I think that the thing that came first, it was a musical. So it was Annie. It was, I was in third grade and I played Drake the Butler and Sandy the dog. So like switching between a dog and a butler was pretty fun. And like I got some laughs because I was playing a dog and I was a ham, but I didn't know what a ham was. Like I just knew that like there were people that were looking at me. So I had their attention and I made them laugh, but it was during the song Tomorrow. So it's sort of like it's performance as a whole, like music is involved in that. And it's like, I don't know. I just love it all. I also write and produce a podcast with my writing partner and producing partner. It's a noir radio play. I'd say film noir from like my knee jerk reaction, but it's a slapstick comedy noir, sort of in the vein of like a Pink Panther, but it's a radio play. And it's just, that's also performance, and there's music in that we do. And there's like a whole different aspect of production, and sort of we put it on live and then we release it as a podcast, and just all in all performance is sort of the thing. So yeah, I started young and just sort of got addicted. Sorry to like make it like take your question and then expound to a large theme and then come back. Sorry to like do that.
It's great. It shows your passion, man. I love it. And you know, just kind of going with the podcast, I was checking it out and I love the sound effects. It's definitely got that. I always think of film noir too. When I took classes for film and all that in college, I always think, you know, when I think of noir, I'm like, oh, it's always film noir, you know? So, you know, it's pretty cool how you guys have that kind of verbiage, and it's got that vibe to it of like, you know, back in the day with the murder mystery, and I know he's a private dick and all that, but it was
yeah, the private
good,
dick. Yeah. Thanks, man. I, if I may, sort of speaking to like how Scorpion started in my life, like nothing really in the aspect of action adventure of the genre ever really like sunk in for me. I always knew as an actor that I could play sort of like the tech guy, but it wasn't until I started really exploring the world of genre and of making stuff and sort of exercising those muscles that I realized what I could do. And that's when, you know, sort of the Scorpion audition came about, and I realized like, oh, well, within the parameters of this genre, I can really have a lot of fun. And so it's like, it's all sort of cyclical to me because my comprehension of how to make a thing sort of like clicked, and I was like revving it into high gear with like the narratives that I was writing. And then Scorpion happened. So I sort of like put all my writing on pause because of this great show, and it's been great to sort of go back to being able to create stuff with Dick Decay and Tales of a Private Jack, that radio play. So it's pretty cool.
Nice, man.
Thanks for listening to it.
Oh yeah, no doubt, man. I do a couple podcasts. I know how much effort it takes into, you know, just producing one. So I get it, man. And,
yeah, it's hard.
My last question, is there one role that you would kind of just love to land?
Yeah. I like being a part of stuff that is driven with either like a good narrative or like a strong sense of the genre that we're like playing in, or something that has like a hard artistic edge. And I started sort of my school, my self-schooling, I guess, if I'm sounding like an asshole, when I was 13 and I was a, I was in a Shakespeare company as like an apprentice, and we would do shows. We did Hamlet and a Scottish play, for In the Summer Night's Dream, like a bunch of things for, schools that would come in, they'd bust all their kids in. And then we'd do like an hour and 45 minute version of Hamlet, an hour and 45 minute version of Macbeth. And like, we do it for the kids and it'd still be a good cut, but I was like cutting my teeth with all these regional theater actors. So I was like learning at a very young age, their process and like how to respect the text and the type of books that I should be reading and the work that I should be doing at home. Like at a very young age, I was learning how to do all that stuff. So sort of roundabout way of saying like my whole life, I have wanted to play Falstaff. And that's sort of the one that I guess I've been tiptoeing around. And I played it in high school because, you know, there's not many times you have like a 300 plus pound actor who's like, I love Shakespeare in your school. but I think that's the part that I want to tackle. Sooner rather than later, which is weird because he's like an older guy. But he's like a Shakespearean character. I don't know if you know who Sir John Falstaff is, but that's the guy. He's sort of the big one for me.
Nice. First of all, like, thanks you for taking the time. Continued success with Scorpion and everything that you're doing, from podcasts, your music. But it's really cool to see someone with your passion, everything you got going on, and you get to be on the CBS's show, Scorpion, man. And for people like yourself, always, I know, are trying to get into the business, I'm glad to see someone who's got a show, who's doing really well, but, you know, definitely deserves it with all the hard work you put in.
Thank you so much. All right, that's so kind. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
My pleasure, man. Definitely put up links for everything you're doing here on our site. Oh, and
thank you, man.
Oh, my pleasure, man. And enjoy. I don't know if you have any downtime before. Well, I know you're shooting right now, but when you do have downtime, yeah, try and relax and enjoy.
Oh, thank you. I will. Thank you, sir.
You take care.
Take it easy.
Bye. Bye. And we're back.
Hey.
Good timing, Art, for that break. Oh, I thought you guys wanted to discuss.
Oh, yeah, we can do.
If we start talking about that, I'm not going to finish.
Is that right?
Not going to finish.
That's smart.
Let's keep it rolling.
It's a smart move.
Thanks to Ari Stidham for talking about the hit CBS show, Scorpion. Definitely check out the show, and we appreciate him taking the time. Mike, I think we're up number 5 for you, right?
Yes. Okay, this is a real weapon, and this is fucking creepy, but it's also very cool. It's called a switchback suicide drone. A drone that fits in your backpack that you shoot out of like a mortar, and you can then control the drone via like these fucking, this headset and remote control, and have it kamikaze into fucking enemy that might be firing on you and stuff.
I just got cross-eyed.
What? It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. Hold on. Let me see if I can find a fucking, that video I watched.
But does it also drop off like Amazon packages too, or no?
Yeah, and then kills you.
Nice.
A second later.
Rate it or die. Great shipping. Are we scared about them yet or no? Is that going to, like, a few more years?
What, drones?
Yeah.
We should be fucking scared of those.
All right, Jay, number 5 for you.
Number 5 for me is going to be... Let's just go with the atomic bomb. All right, now that's my number 1. Just kidding.
One, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Jay is the atomic bomb.
I'm going to go with... This is, I mean, it's sort of a weapon, but a bear trap.
Ooh. A bear trap.
Yeah. No? Does that not qualify?
No, it's fine.
All right, let me take it to a better
level. If
you're
in cartoon land.
Yeah. Right,
I'm just going to go simple and go with landmine. How about that?
There you go.
Is that better?
It's a good weapon.
Honestly, I'd rather get blown up by a landmine than get caught in a bear trap. But that's just me. But yeah, landmines, they're great. You bury them. The enemy steps on them. They blow up. And hopefully, you know, they all get used before the war's over.
Yeah.
Kids don't end up stepping on them 50 years later.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's the only thing. You got to, you know, good at taking the reservation, but not keeping the reservation. Yeah, you got to keep track of where you put those things. Make sure they all go off.
You think they wouldn't make like a landmine that like had an expiration date?
Yeah, it just goes off like a game of perfection.
Right.
They just all go off.
Game of perfection. I hated nice. Those fucking half moons. The yeah. difference between the half moon and the half macaroni always fucked me up.
Imagine the panic you have when you're about to lose a game of perfection, let alone when a field full of landmines is about to go off. You're not exactly sure when it's going to happen. That's my next one.
Nice. My number five is from the Marvel Universe. It's called the Ultimate Nullifier.
What is that?
This is from the Fantastic Four kind of world. It was described as the universe's most devastating weapon. And it was pretty much whoever used it, whatever their mind was focused on would kind of like blow up or just be destroyed. So if you're thinking about just the world and you just press the button, world blows up. It was the Fantastic Four's weapon to try and stop Galactus because no one really could stop Galactus. So it was something that was created back over in space or maybe the Secret Wars, but Reed Richard had it in like the series that I was kind of reading back in the day. But it was kind of a thing that it was hooked up to your mind, this weapon, and it could kind of create whatever like bad things you thought about destroying.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
A little hurt.
Sorry.
Too bad. An ultimate nullifier right now, Mike.
I didn't mean to do that. I didn't.
Boring.
I did. I swear. I didn't mean
to. I'm crying on the inside.
That's right. It's a ship going out.
Your soundboard is weapons to my heart.
Here, I'll redeem myself here.
Nope, it's not helping.
No, it's not helping?
Not
damn,
helping.
Damn it. What about this one?
I can't wait till the after show after this podcast. So that's what I'm going to do.
No?
No. All right, number four for you. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Here's another crazy weapon that's actually real, and you can build it for $250 if you wanted to.
Okay.
It's known as the seasick gun. It's a gun that you shoot at people, and it just shines a bunch of lights, and it actually makes you feel sick to your stomach.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Fucking awesome.
Is this real?
Yeah, it's real.
I wasn't paying attention to what you said.
Yes.
I got this laying right in front of me. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Give me it.
Since my number four was sniper rifle, and we already talked about that, we're going to move on to Jay.
Yeah.
My next one is flamethrower.
Oh, yes. Good one.
Super fun. I think it was a Grand Theft Auto weapon, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun one. It's got range. It's got fire. It's got midgets. Oh, no, wait. That one does not have midgets. And you could also build your own at home, which is awesome.
Yes.
That's the fun part, really.
The downside, though, is you are carrying flammable gasoline on your back.
Well, you know, it's a little risk involved in using any weapon, really.
Yeah, true. Not so much with that one where you just pour a hose of fire on your face.
Just like in Money Train.
Think about that. A hose of fire. That is the scariest thing ever. It's like Cobra Shark.
All right, number three for Mike.
The Sword of Omens. No, nothing.
The what?
The Sword of Omens from Thundercats.
Keep going.
Was that the Sword of Thundera? Or
no.
Or the Eye of Thundera?
The Sword of Omens.
Is that Lino's sword?
Yeah.
By the
I always thought it was that the sword? Eye of Thundera. That's what I thought it was called.
Fucking Sword of Omens, dude. Sight beyond sight. Grew like an erect penis. Compact. You can. That's a little dagger. No? All right, cool.
Smoking dagger. No, I like it, man. I'll give it to myself.
I'll do it myself.
Jay, number three for you.
Boring! That's it.
My next one is going to be the ever classic bazooka.
Nice. I didn't put it on there because I felt like the reload factor just sucks.
Yeah, it's so stupidly impractical. It's ridiculous, but you knew in an 80s movie, when a bazooka came out, shit was about to go down.
It was about to go down.
There was not one 80s movie that did not have a bazooka in it.
Wow.
80s action movie, I should say.
That's a fact.
Back to the Future when he busts out the bazooka.
Yeah, fucking rocket launcher.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was totally joking. I was just trying to pick a movie that in no way, shape, or form had a bazooka. And, of course...
It totally has a fucking bazooka in it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Way to go, dude. Good guess.
I just proved my own fucking point.
Yeah, you did.
Peggy Sue got married. There was a bazooka in there.
Yep. His name was Jim Carrey.
Yep.
I think 80 was like a
five.
That was me. That was me. 80s was the decade of the bazooka. It was the bazooka decade.
Nice.
I smoked pot out of a bazooka once.
What?
Yeah.
How so?
We called it Bongzooka, of course.
It was a real full-size bazooka.
It was one of those, you know, those shoulder surface-to-air missile launching things. It's the thing that Judge Reinhold shoots in at the end of Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? It's one of those little law rocket things. It was what happens when you have a roommate who's both an Eagle Scout and a pothead.
That's awesome.
He bought one from some Vietnam vet's yard sale. I shit you not.
A bazooka.
Yeah, a bazooka. And it had caps on either side. So he sealed the one side and then took a drill, fucking drilled in the bottom, put water in it, and you fucking hit it and then collapse it on itself and the fucking smoke would hit you in the face.
Wow.
Just... It would just like, you know, suck it all up, dude. It would one hit and you're done.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Most impressive.
So,
there you go. Nice. Number three for me was the Gatling gun.
Nice.
Fired it off into the woods.
It's another 80s classic.
Deep dab. Yep. And it just goes deep dab doob dab deep dab doob. Did you ever hear that from the Jerky Boys?
No.
He's talking about, he's like, I have many Civil War guns. I have a big cannon. You fire it off into the woods and it goes. And he's like, and then I got a Gatling gun. I got a Gatling gun. I usually just fire it off into the woods and it just goes deep dab doob dab.
It's like Scatman Jones shooting fucking, a firearm.
Fucking hilarious. Sorry.
Number two for you, Mike.
You ever play Portal?
Nope.
No? The Portal gun, where the whole premise of the game, you shoot one bullet, it makes a portal, you shoot the second bullet anywhere else, and then you can go from one spot to the other through the portals. It's a fucking awesome weapon. And it's the entire It's the entire game of Portal. It's what it's based around that. Because Portal is in essence like a puzzle game, like trying to find your way out of places by using just little portals. It's awesome.
Nice. Pretty cool. Jay, number two for you.
By the way, how many times could I say portal in that last sentence? Sorry.
Probably. More than average.
Yeah.
My next one, it's small, but it's fierce. Brass knuckles.
Wow.
Super underrated.
Yeah.
But also going with the one that you could attach like the fucking spike to. You ever see that one?
Yes.
That one's ridiculous. But yeah, brass knuckles. You never see it coming until it hits you. And then you go, oh, brass knuckles, as you hit the ground.
Brass knuckles should just be called surprise.
But it's funny, like the use to go from brass knuckles to attaching the spike to it. Does anything go from 0 to 60 like quicker than that? Yeah. Like brass knuckles is just like a cheap way to win a fight real quick.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to stab through your entire body.
With my fist.
Yeah.
You choose.
It's definitely like a bipolar weapon right there. But fun nonetheless.
No doubt. Number two for me was the proton pack.
That was my number one.
What? Nice. Is it a weapon though? It's more of a tool.
Isn't every weapon a tool, Jay?
It's not even it's like a capturing device. It's like a trap.
That's a trap. No. The trap is a trap.
The proton trap is a trap.
Because you just
throw it on your back.
Proton pack is like a nuclear lasso.
Yes. And you can blow shit up on it. Yeah. It just depends on how much you use the power from it. And
what your intentions are.
Yes. And it's got a half-life. The half-life of it is like 5,000 years.
5,000 years. Absolutely.
So those are your number ones, huh?
No, that's my number two.
That's my number one.
Oh, yeah. So you think that's better than, say, the atomic bomb?
The Spanish Inquisition?
Scissors?
The Tour de France?
Chocolate
Jack
moves.
Nicholson's mustache?
Oh, we stepped on each other.
What was your number two then, Mike?
My number two was the portal gun.
Oh, portal gun, all right. Your number one was the atomic bomb. My number one, of course, lightsaber.
Didn't see that coming.
Didn't see that coming.
Who didn't?
Even the Spanish Inquisition saw that coming.
The only thing that I have to say, and I don't want to shit on the lightsaber here, but I will. There is no room for error with a fucking lightsaber.
Nope.
Zero room for error. You can't.
Yeah, that's me. I have no room for error in my life.
You can't like lean on it. You can't, you know, you can't mistakenly brush it against your leg. No, you can't do that. It chops off anything.
Because an atomic bomb, you can just lean on. You can make mistakes.
Just don't drop it accidentally.
Yeah. Or don't.
I feel like the lightsaber that was like so easily knocked out of hands and down large shafts and like taken by robots with cough problems.
with tuberculosis.
Yeah. That's a standalone movie we need. A General Grievous flick. What was up with that guy?
Yeah.
What was his deal?
Well, he killed Jedis. Like, he was like Jedi bounty hunter.
He was trained by Count Dooku. And the problem is like the backstory you didn't hear until once you watched in the Clone Wars cartoons or anime and stuff. He was trained by Count Dooku, and Mace Windu actually, the reason why he was coughing and sounded like he was dying for the Revenge of the Sith, Mace Windu kind of force choked his heart because he was just like robot and part alien, part robot. And he kind of force choked his body and kind of went in on itself and it clamped on his heart. And then he started like almost dying, but he got away from Mace. But like that was the whole thing where it was like Mace kind of started his downfall.
Hmm. All right.
Crickets. Where are the crickets?
I got it.
Soundboard. Death by soundboard. The number one weapon in all podcasts is a soundboard.
Call the police.
What was that?
Is that you?
No, that was Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, all right. We want to say thanks to Ari Stidham from Scorpion.
Wait a minute. We got to come up with our what the top
lightsaber.
Is it? We both had the proton pack, so the proton pack's number one.
Okay, we'll go with proton pack, then lightsaber, then atomic bomb. That works.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
I'm happy with that.
That's all that counts, really. That's all that matters.
It's true.
So thanks to Ari Stidham for talking to us, and everybody, we appreciate you listening. For Jake.
See ya.
For Mike.
See ya.
See ya.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
They had it. I think someone had it and they were like, we want that. I got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Once they got it, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.